I was given another prayer concern. John and Connie Mann's son-in-law, Roy, is that Taylor? Tabor. Wasn't sure about that. Jennifer Mann's husband is having bypass surgery, I guess, tomorrow morning at St. Vincent's Hospital in Annapolis. So keep Roy Tabor in your prayers as well. Our text this morning, this is our second part of the first part of the Going for the Go. Olympics are still going on. I guess this is the last day, though, isn't it? Conclusion of that. And appreciate Rand filling in for me last Sunday and Bible studies that we've been having in my absence. And so this is the second part of the Going for the Goal, as Paul describes. We're in a race in this life. Now, you know, it's important how we start. It's important how we run in the race. And it's important how we finish the race. So, again, follow along with me as we look into 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Sorry about that. Forgot to use the clicker. 26. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim, but I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave or servant, so that after I have preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Here in this text, Paul is speaking with the Corinth church or the Corinthians and so forth, and they was well aware of what and could identify with Paul when he's talking about games, athletic games, and so forth. And a lot of the such games were held there in Corinth. So they were familiar with what Paul would be talking about here and having them not only focus on the physical things of life, but also the spiritual things in life. And that's what he was really targeting, but he was using this as an example of how they were to run their race in life. So Paul, he used this illustration to explain that the Christian's life takes, you know, it's hard. It's hard work. Self-denial and grueling preparation. If you watch the Olympics going on the last couple weeks, you can see how much preparation that the Olympians have put forth each of their challenges that they run in. And many of them have finished gold, some silver, some bronze, and some not at all. But they ran the race. And they made tremendous sacrifices over the years to be able to compete in such a grueling Olympics as these every 4 years. And as Christians, we are running towards our heavenly reward, as we sang earlier, when we all get to heaven, or when the road is called up yonder. And the essential discipline of prayer and Bible study and worship equips us to run with vigor and stamina. We have to do that. if we don't pray, if we don't read our Bible, if we do not come to worship, if we're not engaged in the things that God has called us to do, then we're not going to run well, are we? We might start, but in the race, we're going to get distracted. And Paul is saying, you've got to stay focused. You need these things in your life as Christians. You need prayer and Bible study and worship and involvement in the things of the Lord. So we don't merely observe from the grandstands like a lot of people do. I mean, if you're watching, you're looking on, but we don't merely as Christians observe from the grandstand. We don't just jog a couple of laps each morning, do we? We must train diligently our spiritual progress. It really depends on it. So looking at that, the second characteristic of a winner is that winners are always in training. Does it ever stop? Training never stops, does it? It doesn't stop for the Olympians. They train year-round, every day, some 8 hours, some 10, 12, 16 hours, but it never stops. And it doesn't stop for the Christians, for the Christian life. It's a continual process through every day of our lives. And I don't know about you, but I find this is one of the most exhilarating aspects of the Christian life. To think that there's always room to grow. If we're not growing, we're declining. There's room to grow. That's no matter how much we age, we can still learn and grow. You know, toddlers, I was thinking about as they start out young, they learn, well, they have training pants, right? They had to start out somewhere. And they have training wheels on their bikes. And then when they get confident and assured of themselves, then you can remove those and they can go on their own and they continue to ride and get better. And we need to accept the fact that we are training and always will be. So let's look at two characteristics of the spiritual training. According to what Paul's passage is here, first of all, there is a motivation for training in verse 25. First of all, there is a crowd cheering the runners and participants on. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have so great a crowd of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin, which also easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us. So, generations back in the Christian era, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it says there's a cloud of witnesses, those who've already competed in the race of life. They started, they ran, and they finished. And we're still in the race today, aren't we? We're competing against a lot of forces in life. And therefore, we're on not to get distracted. And the way that we make preparation, as I mentioned a while ago in my introductory, is reading God's Word, praying and seeking His will, coming together to worship corporately and to serve in some capacity. That helps us stay in the race. So many people today who call themselves Christians started the race early in life, but therefore, by some distraction, they quit praying, they quit reading their Bible, they quit going to church, quit worshiping, and now they may be spectators sitting on the sideline and wondering, what happened? What happened? Well, if we give up, those things are essential things in the preparation for our Christian life. That's exactly what would take place in our life. We must stay in the race, and we must use these essentials, prayer, Bible study, worship, as preparation to run the Christian life. Back to our text, verse 25. It says, they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So, what happens? Sometimes there's what I call internal motives, pride. I don't know about you, but some of those Olympians that have competed in the Olympics have a lot of pride, don't they? I mean, some are real arrogant. And that's no room in sports or anything in life is to have that kind of arrogant and pride. Also, external motives, monetary rewards, or popularity, or prestige will stand in our way. External motives. Life is a test, and there will be a final examination. And when that final examination takes place in our life, how will we rate in our stamina, in our inner, motive as far as continuing to serve the Lord? Now, Paul also, he instructed Timothy. I don't know where I am here, but I keep on clicking and I'm not there yet. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, train yourself to be godly. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation here. But 1 Timothy 4, 7, 8 says, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, or physical exercise is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. So, the method of training, verse 26 says, I run in such a way as not without aim. In our life, even as Christians, we must have an aim. What is our aim in life? As far as serving the Lord, is it to put Him first? Is it serving Him? Allowing Him to put us where we need to be, to put forth our best as we trust Him with all of our life, with everything within us, that we know that we are pleasing Him as we run our race, as He has set the course for us. So far, Paul's model of winning the Christian race is that we are to be contenders. We run the race, and then we always in training, we never stop growing. But there's one more characteristic of a winning, and that is winners are self-controlled. And verse 27 says, I discipline my body. Now, let's go back and read the rest of that. Paul says, I discipline my body and make it my servant or slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself am not qualified or disqualified. And Paul is thinking here, okay, as his witness. Every one of us are witnesses somehow in life. People are watching. Our witness. And Paul says, I can preach and I preach and I preach, but if I'm not running the race that God has called me to do, then I will be disqualified. And he said, I don't want to run without that aim, as the aim is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So everyone in the race is being watched. They have a cloud of witnesses. But as we run our race in life, how are we running? Are we focused totally upon the Lord Jesus Christ? And in verse 27, it says, I discipline my body. What does that mean? Self-control releases power. Self-control releases power. Self-control creates credibility. And each one of these athletes have come to the games have credibility. Or they wouldn't be there, would they? You got to be good. I mean, you got to try out. If you don't meet the standards, you don't get to go to the Olympics. If we don't meet the standards in life that the Bible lays out for us as Christians to run the race, and that's what Paul is talking about. You know, I can run a good race, but if I'm doing it on my own terms, then at the end, at the finish line, I'm going to be disqualified. The Bible says that every one of us will give an account of what we have or have not done for the Lord. So our race in life is very important for us to run and to be qualified at the end to finish and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I was thinking about Matthew 19, verse 26, when we think that it's impossible for us to run a race. It's impossible for us to do our best sometimes because of the factors and obstacles in our Christian life. But when Jesus was talking to the disciples about the rich young ruler, and he said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. It means he was thinking about his position. He's not willing to give up some things. But the disciples, they questioned Jesus on that. Well, what's possible? How can anyone get into heaven if there's such great demands on the Christian life? Are living the Christian life, as Paul would say, as you run the Christian race in life. And then Jesus comes back and says, with God, nothing is impossible. Sometimes we forget to rely upon God. It's impossible for us, but the Bible says, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Vince Lombardi once said, winning is a habit, and so is losing. There's going to be winners, and there's going to be losers, isn't there? Jeremiah 28:11 says, for I know that the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What is Jeremiah saying here to the people? The Lord is speaking through Jeremiah saying, I want you to be winners. That's what I expect. God wants us all to be winners. And that's why he says, to give you an expected end, to give you a winning spirit. See, the difference between winners and losers is winners say, hey, problem, look how big my God is. And losers say, oh God, look how big my problem is. Winners does not make the attitude. The attitude makes you a winner. Winners have a positive attitude and learn from their mistakes. As many of the commentators have been interviewing different ones of the athletes and asked them what went wrong. They would tell them, well, I made a mistake. I did this. I did. I planned and I worked and I made preparations, but I didn't live up to it. So we as Christians, we plan and we seek God's will, and he helps us to get where we need to be at any given time. You see, we need to set goals in our personal life. People need to set goals in their businesses, in their marriages, in our ministries. We need to better ourselves when it comes to serving the Lord. If someone looks at you today, they should be able to see improvement over the last year or even the last month or last few weeks in our spiritual walk with the Lord. See, winners will always pay the price. The value of your dream is determined by how much you are willing to pay for it. Many of you know of Michelangelo. Michelangelo was not the best painter of his time. I don't know if you knew that. He is a great painter, but wasn't the best of his time. He had a bad back and had a sinus condition. How many of you have sinus conditions? We do, don't we? How many of you ever had bad backs? And it stops you from doing a lot of the things you want to do. No one else was willing to do whatever it took to succeed. He laid on his back, painting a ceiling for nearly 2 years and completed the Sistine Chapel. All other great painters of his day are forgotten in obscurity. They're forgotten. But he didn't. He was willing to pay the price. In 1949, which is the year I was born, Jonas Salk wanted to cure polio. He worked 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, for 5 years, and gave us the now famous Salk vaccine against polio. Jonas played to win. I remember taking that vaccine back in 1959 when I was in the fifth grade. How many of you did that in the fifth grade? A little salt tablet. Put it in your mouth. You swallowed it. And hopefully none of us got polio. Jonas played to win. Lou Gehrig played 2,130 consecutive games. Every finger in both hands were broken, as well in having 17 additional fractures in his body. I shared a little bit about his life, the first sermon, but he played nevertheless. Of all the players in baseball history, none possess as much talent and humility as Lou Gehrig. He accomplished on the field, made him an authentic American hero, and his early tragic death made him a legend. He played to win. Someone else played to win. Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players in history, played in 1997 championship game against the Utah Jazz with flu, even when he couldn't even when he could have stayed at home, but he played that day. $40 million is not what kept him on the floor. Michael Jordan played to win. And someone else I think of athlete that played to win. Peyton Manning, who retired last year, went through a series of surgeries on his neck, played hurt a lot of times, broke a lot of records and so forth. He could have hung it up, sit down, and just enjoy watching. But the desire to be a winner kept him in the game. I share all of this is when athletes put that much into their life in playing the game of sports and things like that, how much more should Christians put in their life and sacrifice hours upon hours and hours of praying and reading the Bible and studying and see how they can be more effective in their witness, in their service to the Lord. And that's why Paul is saying here, I discipline myself. I have to discipline myself. And for Paul to say that, he had come a long ways in his life because he spent much of his life persecuting the Christian, but when God touched his life, changed his life, it changed his whole perspective on life. And then he re-engaged in the game to be on Jesus' team, to run the race, to finish it. And that's why he was able to say, now my reward of righteousness can be given to me. Now here's the principle. Pay now or pay later. R.G. Lee preached a sermon years and years ago, Payday Someday. I know many of you might have heard it, but it was one of the greatest sermons ever been preached. But pay now or pay later. If you pay now, you can play later. Losers play now and end up paying later. Winners pay now so they can play later. So you must determine what you value and the price you are willing to pay. To get something you want, you must give up something else. You can't sacrifice unless you have a choice. And many athletes make a choice. They're going to pay the price. And Christians, we need to make a choice that we will pay the price. Because Jesus paid the price for us, didn't he? He paid the price for us. The Bible tells us to be faithful in the little. And some of God's greatest gifts came in the small packages, and it changed the world forever. And it started with 12 people, 12 men. So, as we think about our race in life, we need to evaluate our life in terms of giving and serving the Lord. Don't ever base your life on what you accumulate. Leave behind a legacy of principles of character, not just your resources. And what you give is what you really keep for the Lord. We can be a winner by giving God our best and our service to Him. And that's all He asked us. He gave us His best. And when Paul says, you know, I finished, I ran, and now there's a crown of glory, of righteousness laid up for me. And then he said, not only for me, but for anyone, for everyone who looks for his appearing. But until then, we are in the race. We are Olympians. We're marathon runners in life. And there's no sprinting in the Christian life, but it's a marathon. A marathon. And how we finish determines on our preparation, our endurance, of praying, reading God's word, coming to church, worshiping, and giving of ourselves, that the Lord may be glorified in our lives. Our Father God, we praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you have put us upon this earth to make a difference, that we're all in this race of life. And Lord, the preparation that we do each day, every day, will help us stay in the race, help us to be encouraged, help us to be motivated. And we're all contenders. And Lord, we thank you that you have chosen us to be your vessels. You have chosen us to help build your kingdom. And what we do here on earth, Lord, will be revealed one of these days as we stand before you. Lord, I pray that we will evaluate, we'll examine our own personal life and say, Lord, you know, what do I need to give up in order to be better servant, a better witness for your kingdom? Lord Jesus, we praise you and we thank you for this service today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Help us to be always mindful that you love us and you care for us and you've paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And may need to start there. Start afresh and anew. Renew, rededicate afresh and anew our commitment to you. Whatever it is, Lord, make it clear, make it plain to each one of us that when we leave here this day, we know that we've been refreshed, we've been encouraged, and Lord, we can go out and finish our race in this life and be all winners because you won the victory for each one of us. And we praise you and we thank you for that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hymn of invitation this morning is number 91.